seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome to Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we're starting off a brand new week. We are exactly 7 days away from the national championship for college basketball. How about this Final Four? You got NC State, an 11 seed, getting in. We have Alabama, UConn, and Purdue. I mean, this has been a pretty wild NCAA tournament, and I think it's only going to get more wild as the seasons move on in this whole NIL era. It's just different. It's a different world. Purdue looks good. That was a battle with Tennessee. I think that was one of the more entertaining games of the NCAA tournament. But we are down to the Final Four, which means we're a week away from our $1,000 giveaway. And we have been taking qualifiers on all of our stations over the past week or so. We're going to do it again here on KOAL. Here's how you do it right now. Dial in 637-5625. That's 637-KOAL. You can dial in right now. We'll take the next 15 qualifiers today, and the numbers are going to be distributed later this week. Again, we're going to pay $200 out to whoever wins the first timeout, $200 to the halftime score, $200 to the second timeout of the second half, and then $400 to the final score as we team up with Richard Hackwell at Farm Bureau Financial Services. It's free cash. Dial in right now, 637-5625. And again, you'll have an opportunity to take home some money. We'll be doing this throughout the week ahead of Friday when we reveal the numbers. So that is the big thing here on Drive Time Sports. Speaking of college basketball, you know, that's the men going into the Final Four. How about the women's Final Four? We get LSU and Iowa. Anytime Caitlin Clark is out on the court, I think people are paying attention. Same thing with LSU and Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese. Not a national championship game rematch here in the Final Four between Iowa and LSU. And then we get UConn and USC. So 2-3 seeds and 2-1 seeds. 5 o'clock, LSU and Iowa will tip off. 7 o'clock tonight, UConn and USC. And so even some women's college basketball kind of turning the needle a little bit. Has it been one of the more fascinating women March Madness tournaments? Oh, absolutely. 100% it has been. It's been entertaining, and I think it's because of the name recognition and knowing that it could be Caitlin Clark, one of the most decorated college basketball players ever. Could be her final game at the collegiate level. So a 5 o'clock start time tonight for LSU and Iowa. I want to take a look at the schedule in the NBA. We are going to talk NBA basketball as we're down to the final 7 or 8 games of the season. Very short slate of games tonight, only 6. We get Boston and Charlotte, Memphis at Detroit, Brooklyn at Indiana. Then we get Portland at Orlando. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. Atlanta at Chicago, actually an important game. Two teams that will definitely be in the play-in round, I believe, in the Eastern Conference. And then at the nightcap, it's Phoenix at New Orleans. And the Phoenix Suns are a team that we are going to talk a lot about. It was a team that made the splashy move in the offseason. They went out, they got Bradley Beal. They gave Devin Booker a running mate. They have Kevin Durant. Remember, they won last season when they brought in KD. You think, okay, the Suns team, it's locked and ready to roll. I was never a believer in the lack of depth. And that's really, it's shown its ugly face. They do not have a lot of depth. Injuries have been a problem with this team. Phoenix is going to get into the play-in round. But will they stay in that 7-8 spot? I don't think so. Because they have a awful stretch coming up. I mean, they play seven games left, and all 7 are against playoff teams that are all fighting for something. We will get into that a little bit later here on Drive Time Sports. That's what's happening in the NBA. Full slate of games in Major League Baseball. Earlier today, Braves, White Sox, it was all Atlanta. And this one, going into the rain delay, it was 6-0 Atlanta. The Cubs topped the Rockies. The Rockies are now just 1-4 on the season. The Cubs, 2-2, after getting a fantastic start from Imanga in his first game as a Chicago Cub, looked great. The Pirates and Nationals battling it out right now. Coming up at 4:30, Royals, Orioles, Angels, Marlins, Reds, Phillies, Rangers, Rays. 5 o'clock hour, one game. It's the Tigers at the Mets. 6:10 tonight, Blue Jays, Astros. 7:40, we get the Red Sox and the A's, Guardians at Mariners, Yankees, who are red hot, 4-0 after sweeping the Astros, take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Cardinals, Padres at 7:40, and then the Dodgers and the Giants. That's the nightcap tonight, as James Paxton will get his first start for the Dodgers. Ohtani off to a little bit of a slow start, but the Dodgers still 4-2. Here's what we have coming up on the show today. We are going to talk to the newest women's basketball coach at Carbon High School. It was announced over the weekend that Jordan Blank will take over for Coach Cammie Carlson on the girls' side, and Taylor Brower will be the next boys' head coach, taking over for Jared Butler. Today we are going to be joined over the phone by Jordan Blank. He's going to join us next segment. We'll give you the local sports recap, and we'll talk some NBA basketball with our good friend James Holas. All that's coming up when we return. It's a Monday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Sutherland Studios.
Now, this local Castle Country sports update with Jordan Buscarini from KOAL.
Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini. What a look at local sports. We move over to high school basketball. And Emory High School seniors Luke Justice and Wade Stilson earned 3A All-State basketball selections for the previous season, following a vote from coaches in the classification. Fellow senior Zach Tuttle received an honorable mention. Justice earned a 3A All-State first-team selection after leading the Spartans in scoring. He averaged 17 per tilt and scored a season-high 26 points on two separate occasions. A year after earning a first-team selection, senior Wade Stilson was tabbed as a member of the second All-State squad. One of the most polished players in the classification, his versatility was on display as he led the Spartans in rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks per game. Tuttle received the honorable mention. He led the Spartans in field goal percentage for the season as he posted 9 points per game. He was a consistent threat on both sides of the floor, shot 55% from the field, and poured in a career-high 25 points against Manti. The 3A girls high school basketball All-State teams have been announced, and the Emory Lady Spartans were well represented. Emory senior Aaliyah Lester earned a first-team selection after averaging 13 points, 3 rebounds, 1 steal per game to go along with 64 three-point shots made throughout the year. Sophomore Kennedy Mon earned a second-team All-State selection. She, too, averaged 13 points to go along with 7 rebounds and 1 block. Junior Caitlin Nielsen grabbed a third-team All-State selection after averaging 12.7 points and 7 boards. And senior Carly Stilson earned an honorable mention. It was a very memorable year for the Emory Lady Spartan basketball team. They advanced all the way to the state championship game before falling just short, taking home second place. Now, the Carbon Lady Dinos had 2 All-State selections. Senior Amaya Timothy earned a first-team nod after averaging 18.4 points per game to go along with 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 steals. And Maddie Orth was named the second-team All-State. She averaged 14 points, 6.5 rebounds, and 4 steals per game. The Carbon Lady Dinos also had an excellent season, advancing to the 3A state semifinals before falling to the eventual state champion Richfield Wildcats. Earlier this week, the 3A All-State boys basketball teams were also announced, and you can get a complete write-up on those selections right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're going to talk high school basketball here today on the Coach's Corner. Some exciting news coming out of Carbon High School. A new girls basketball coach, and it's a familiar name, Jordan Blank, who was a graduate of Carbon High School about 10, 11 years ago. He spent some time at Mont Harmon. Now he's back at Carbon High, and he'll be taking over the girls basketball program for the upcoming season. He's joining us over the phone right now. Coach, it's great to get you on. Thank you again for taking out the time today, and congratulations on being named the new girls basketball coach.
Hey, awesome. Thank you, Jordan. It's great to be here talking to you, and I'm super pumped to be working with this girls basketball program this year.
Yeah, as you and I were talking about a little bit off of the cuff, I mean, you step into a program that's really been a well-oiled machine for as long as I can remember, going back to my high school days. I mean, this is just one of those programs that's very, very consistent, and they come with a lot of expectations.
They do, and well, and that's the thing. I was going through the region titles, other things like that, and I'm like, golly, this team is just, it's there. I mean, I went back as far as 05, and we have 9 region titles. We've got 2 state titles. We've got academic state titles, and so this team just wins, and so it's, I mean, stepping into this program, and thanks to Coach Cammie Carlson, Ted Bianco, Bruce Bean, Don Gressman, a lot of these guys and ladies have put this culture together, and so I mean, at this point, it's just continuing that legacy of what this program's been.
Yeah, Coach, I know that as far as culture is concerned, you're a big culture guy. I mean, I've talked and interviewed with you ever since you were a student-athlete at Carbon High School. I know you're a big culture guy. So for you to step in a position that already has a great culture, I'm not going to say that the job's already done, but it does. I know it gives you a leg up. It's something that you love. I mean, you've always been a big guy in talking about that.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, just walking into it and just the conversations having with the girls program, and they're like, you'd ask them years prior, who are you playing? Well, I don't know, but I know we're going to go win. And so having that attitude of, it doesn't matter who we're playing every single week, we're going to go out, give it our all, and just the momentum of knowing, hey, we've beat this team, they're scared of us, we're going to go in and go play our best basketball every single week. That's huge. And so just continuing that and having conversations with coaches prior, you know, Coach Cammie Carlson, she did a fantastic job. And having conversations, hey, what worked well for you? What, you know, what things worked? And so same thing with Coach Bianco, Coach Bean, and reaching out to former coaches and saying what worked well and continuing that. So that's kind of one of the biggest things I want to do is continue that. What worked well, because we don't need to reinvent the wheel at all here. I mean, it's been created. The girls love playing basketball. They love winning, and so it's just continuing that.
Coach, I want to talk about your prior experience. So once you graduated college, you immediately go to Mont Harmon, and I know you had your hand in a lot of things there, football, boys basketball, track and field. You were also the athletic director. You make that jump to the high school this year, and you've already assisted with boys basketball, track. I know you're helping out on the football field as well. What was the biggest adjustment for you going from that middle school age group to that high school age group, or was it pretty seamless?
I mean, there is a big jump in just athletic ability. I mean, they're still learning, they're growing, you're working more fundamentals at the middle school program. High school, I mean, you're still working and developing throughout the whole career there of those athletes, but the biggest thing is just the pressure that, you know, we've got to win now. I mean, it's fun, we want the girls to enjoy that at the middle school and also the boys, but, I mean, at the high school, we're here to win ball games, region titles, do things, and we want to create, you know, a lifelong learning experience for these girls of what hard work is. And so, I mean, girls are now getting ready to what their plans after high school. You've got to kind of set goals for them, not only for sports, but just life. And so middle school, they're there, they're having a good time, not really sure what they want to do, but at high school it's like, oh no, I want to go in this career field, I want to do this, or maybe sports are in the option there too, and so it's a matter of just kind of working through those individual goals with each individual. So
as you get ready to embark on this new venture, Coach, is there a particular situation, maybe a particular role that you've had that you feel has prepared you for this that makes it to where, okay, this is just kind of it's another day for me? I mean, you've had so many assistant coaching jobs, head coaching jobs at the middle school level. Is there one in particular that stands out as preparing you for this?
I've got two, really. And so the first one, I got to thank Coach Butler, giving me a chance to work with his boys basketball program. He did a fabulous job. And the one thing that really stuck out is he was great at saying, hey, I need this job done. And so I was able to do a lot of the stats for him, submit the stats in, and do that part of the job and seeing, you know, there's more than just coaching practices and stuff. There's a lot of extra work that has to be done. And so he was great at kind of just saying, hey, I need these jobs done. I need you to do these. And so he kind of gave me the experience of doing more than just what I've seen from assistant coaches. He kind of gave me a bigger role, and I really appreciate that, and learned a lot from him and what he did. And he was always great to send out texts and answer all of my questions. The other one, I got to thank Jimmy Jukes with track. And so track, we've been very successful with our track program, and the awesome thing is I've been able to work with a lot of our girls basketball team there during track, and just to develop that relationship. So I'm going into a program that culturally is just great. They want to win games, but then I also am a familiar face with a lot of these girls that have ran track. So getting to know them at a personal level there and setting some athletic goals during track, and same thing with Coach Jukes. He does a great job at, you know, trusting his assistant coaches and being able to just say, hey, this is something I want done. I want you guys to go and do that. And so he's done a great job at just kind of giving coaches their responsibility and moving forward as a whole coaching staff.
Again, our guest right now is Jordan Blank, new coach of the Carbon Lady Dino basketball program. Coach, you've said there's really no reason to reinvent the wheel, but I know every coach kind of has their own philosophies. What can we expect from this team now that you're leading the program? What are some of the philosophies of Coach Jordan Blank?
No, that's great. And the biggest thing, man defense. Like, I want to play a man defense when it's said and done. We've got to continue to be in the girls' face, pressuring them all the time. I love to pressure teams. You'll probably see a lot of full court pressure. We're going to be in great shape to do that. Just a very physical team. Offensively, I want to be able to, you know, spread the floor, let our athletes get to work there and kind of find those mismatches and just key on those. We've got some great motion offenses put into play already that I kind of want to continue with. And then our biggest thing is we've got to just cut down on turnovers. And so we're going to work a lot in the off season there and continue to work on our ball movement and making sure girls aren't standing in one spot there. But, you know, that it's a great group of young girls coming back. I've been looking at them. I've been watching game film already on them. And we've got some great young talent coming up. I mean, we've got Becca Swayze. She's very physical, hardworking. Maddie Ferguson is a great shooter. Bailey Curtis, she started for our team last year, and so I expect some great things out of her being a returning starter. Great rebounder, great hustler. Bailey Johnson, she's done a fabulous job working in the offseason, getting her shot ready and developed. She comes off the bench this last year and did a great job for us. J.C. Jensen, once again, just a phenomenal athlete. Ran the point guard for the team the last year, started for them, and so we're really going to lean towards her and her experiences. And then Sage Villa, another one that's come off the bench quite a bit, and so we've got a lot of young talent that have seen the court, but now we're just going to keep pushing that and continue to have that young talent coming through.
Coach, I know it's important to always have a feeder program and a successful one at that. What are your plans in that regard to keep the momentum going with what we have in Carbon County with girls basketball?
Yeah, I mean, they start at a very young age here in Carbon County playing some girls basketball, and so I want to feed off of that. If we can get you know, our middle school programs continuing to run what we're running at the high school. And I think meeting as a coaching staff, not only when I say coaching staff, I mean, you know, our middle school programs from both Helper and Mont Harmon, get those staffs involved. Hey, this is what we're running. This is what I want out of you. Here's some things that I want these girls to be able to do when they hit the high school level. And just getting our girls' faces out there. And we're going to run some youth camps. I want to run two youth camps with our girls' team, one in the summer and then one right during the season, just so these young girls, you know, second, third, fourth grade, all the way up, that they know the expectations of this program. We see a lot of them come to the games, and it's fun for them to watch, you know, the high school game and that high school experience there. But just to involve them a little bit more, have them, you know, be a part of the team, have a T-shirt, you know, maybe we can do some things where, you know, if you came to our camp, we can get you in on at a cheaper rate or get you in for free one game or something like that, where these girls get to be involved with the program at a very young age. I look at, we used to do this for our baseball program, and I remember as a young child going to all the baseball camps and getting to see, you know, all these high school baseball players and having them work with them, and they eventually became, you know, some of my heroes and kids I looked up to, and I want the same thing for these young Carbon girls basketball team and for our team, that they can be looked up to and be great role models in the community.
We can end with this, Coach. What's next? Now that you have been, you know, hired as the next head coach, and I know it's April already. It's amazing how fast time flies. We only got a month and a half left in the school year. What's next for you and some of the things that you got to get implemented relatively soon?
Yeah, I mean, the first one, and thanks to Coach Cammy Carlson, she did a great job with that program. She was very organized. I'm walking into a really good situation. She was great and already has the schedule completed, which is awesome. So that's one thing that's already checked off the list is, you know, our schedule is complete for the next year. We know who we're playing, what times, everything like that. So that was a big relief for me. The biggest thing right now is getting assistant coaches. So I've got two right now, and I'm looking for two more. So any interest, I mean, reach out to the school, reach out to me. We'd love to interview for assistant coaches there. And then on that, I mean, just meeting the team. So we're on spring break now, and so I'll let the girls, you know, have a great spring break, but come back when we come to school. I'm going to meet with them probably that first Monday when we're back in school, introduce myself, kind of go through, you know, our summer schedule, everything like that. So just get to know them, have the times open for when they can come into the gym. I expect them to come in and work in the off season. So as long as they have those dates and times, I think that's a crucial thing. And then also a parent meeting. I think it's nice to have a schedule ready for parents. I mean, they still, they're kids. They want to get out. They want to do other things besides just sports. And so if I can have a schedule for the off season, the season, and hopefully go into the next off season for the parents, just for vacation purposes, things like that, that's kind of the biggest thing there. Our summer camps we're looking at. Right now we're going to go to USU Eastern. The Warburtons put on a fabulous camp there, and so we've always went to that one for the girls' program. It's a great opportunity. It's right in our backyard. So we'll do that, and then we're also looking at a couple other summer camps too. So that's another big checklist for me.
A lot to do, Coach, but I know it's a very exciting time. It's great to get you on and talk about the girls' basketball program. I know we're going to have several more conversations in the very near future. But again, congratulations, Coach, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for all you do and the coverage you give our Carbon Athletics. We appreciate everything you do.
I really appreciate that, Coach. Thank you so much. That's Jordan Blank, new girls basketball coach at Carbon High School. Great to get him on. Looking forward to more conversations in the very near future. We've got to pause for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We are live from the Sutherland Studios, and it's here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
No sleep till...
Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's time for that Monday basketball talk. You know, we're down to the final 2 weeks of the regular season. That's it. Two more weeks to go, less than 10 games for every team right now in the NBA. We'll look at the play-in picture. We'll look at the playoff picture. And a lot more to get into. Joining us right now, as he does each week, we have James Holis, our NBA analyst. James, great to get you back on. And again, less than 10 games to go in the regular season.
Watching the Celtics hold mighty New Orleans Pelicans to 11 points in the quarter makes me feel much better. I just can't wait. I'm holding my breath these last 2 weeks, last, you know, 8 or 9 games. I just want the Celtics to be healthy.
Yeah, and I think you're going to be all right in that regard. I mean, you know, one thing I want to point out about the Celtics, and I can't stress just how difficult it really is to accomplish this in this day and age. Celtics are going to win 60 games this year. And, you know, again, looking at the roster, looking at the accomplishments, it's been a while since we had a team win 60 games. You have to go back to Phoenix, 2022, I think was the last time a team won 60 games. In this day and age of, you know, rest and load management, and just the way the game is played, I think it's difficult to win 60 games, James, and your Celtics are going to pull that off, and they're going to pull it off with relative ease. They are 32-3 right now at home. Again, that's something else that I don't think you can overlook. I've been saying this all year long. They're the cream of the crop in the NBA. I think you've been cautiously optimistic. But when I throw those two facts at you, okay, the Celtics will win 60 games. They're 32-3 at home. It's got to make you smile.
Yeah, I'm more than cautiously optimistic now. The run the Boston's been on for the last 3 or 4 months has kind of put me at ease. But, again, man, like the ghost of playoffs past keeps popping its head up. And, yeah, it makes me smile. But as we know, regular season and playoffs are two different animals. So Boston is well-equipped. Boston has all the weapons and tools it needs. Let's see if they have the mental fortitude to make it happen.
One team that you may have to at least be somewhat concerned about in the Eastern Conference, it is the Cleveland Cavaliers, and this is a team that's going to be rolling into town tomorrow. The Jazz will play host Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs. We've seen Donovan now over the last couple of games going about 30 minutes. Definitely not the Donovan of old. I mean, he scored 13 points, 12 points. They're trying to ease him back in. Did not shoot the ball well in a win over Philly. Did not shoot the ball necessarily well against Denver, which was a blowout loss. When you look at Cleveland getting Mitchell back at this stage, giving him 10 games to get his feet back up underneath him, Cleveland a legit contender in your mind in the East?
Oh, no, man. It's not, no. After what they showed in the playoffs last year, we can chalk it up to whatever. Dude, they lost by almost 40 to the Heat, whose offense has been absolutely dog water. They lost to Charlotte the other day. They lost by 20-something to Denver. Their variance level is just so big. I know they need to get healthy, get to the playoffs. But someone said it the other day, I think it was Bomani Jones, where they said if Cleveland have bigs, they have talls. And I saw it the other night when they lost to Denver by almost 20. I think their starting backcourt of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen had like 8 rebounds total, and like Joker had like 16 rebounds or some nonsense like that. Like, come on, man. It's, you know, we saw in the playoffs last year and we've seen iterations this year. They get pushed around too easy. You get physical with them, you punch them in the mouth a little bit, they seem like they don't know what to do. So this will be really interesting to see. They're a very talented team. When they play well. But for a team with all that size and, you know, that small backcourt is going to do them in, I think. Just having such a small backcourt is going to be the end of them.
I like that wording. They have talls, they don't have bigs. And I know here in the state of Utah, everyone is always going to be interested in what's happening in Minnesota, what's happening in Cleveland. Like I said, Donovan Mitchell is going to be on the court tomorrow when Cleveland comes in to take on the Jazz. But these are two teams in Minnesota and Cleveland that gave up a whole lot of pieces last year to get the cornerstones from the Utah Jazz. When you look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, completely different scenario, right? I mean, they already had an Anthony Edwards in place. They've done a great job in building a backcourt, right? Bringing in Mike Conley. I know you and I talked about that at the beginning of the year. That was a move we both were high on, matching Rudy Gobert with Karl Anthony Towns. It's worked in Minnesota. The deal for Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland, I do believe it's safe to say it hasn't worked. We'll see what happens this postseason, but I agree with you. I agree with everything you've just said. I don't know that the roster construction is built for a postseason run. In fact, I don't believe it is.
Yeah, man. You know what? We've seen it time and time again. Big, switchable wings are where it's at in the NBA. Aaron Gordon was so important because he could play power forward, but he could also guard, you know, smalls. Wiggins, he helped the Warriors win a couple years ago because he played, you know, they put him at small ball four. He would guard up, and he would also be able to guard, like, fast, twitchy Jason Tatum. He made Jason Tatum's life hell. They just don't have that in Cleveland, right? Caris LeVert is a fine scorer at the wing, but he's not a defender. They don't have anybody to guard other teams' wings. And, like, they have a couple small guards, and then they have these two long big men, and that's, you know, Niang, nice player, you know, but he's another – basically, he's a power forward in today's NBA, an undersized power forward. He's not guarding anybody, so – they just don't have the defensive versatility, and that's what it's all about. You know, having multiple guys who can guard multiple positions, they don't have that.
I want to jump over to the Western Conference. We'll talk about the play-in round for a moment. Last week when we had you on, we were going over the Orlando Magic-Golden State game. The Warriors got a stellar performance from Steph Curry. That was after Draymond Green was tossed 4 minutes into the game. It was a huge win for the Warriors. Since that point, they beat the Hornets, they beat the Spurs, and right now they hold a miniature lead over the Houston Rockets. And I think if you look at the play-in round, it's really going to be determined, in my mind, over these next three games for Golden State. What can they do over these next three? Because two out of the three are on the road. They get the Mavericks twice and the Rockets once. This is as crucial of a stretch as it can possibly be for this Golden State team. I think they hang on, James. I think they make into the play-in round. I'm curious as to your thoughts.
It's funny because we've seen this team be Jekyll and Hyde at different points of the season. They had a nice little run where they won like five or six in a row earlier this year, and then they kind of had some really bad poop-to-bed losses, and they kind of fell off the cliff again. So, you know, we know as Draymond and Steph go, they go. Draymond was great yesterday, and they still barely beat the San Antonio Spurs, who are one of the worst teams in the league. So their margin for error is so slim that I think you nailed it. These next three games are going to be really important because they don't have any more wins to just blow, right? There's no more, we lost that team, and it's fine. There's no more it's fine, right? That's been out the window for them. So, yeah, I'm with you. This is a pivotal time for them. They got to stack every win they can.
Another pivotal time for the Los Angeles Lakers, who are playing good basketball as of late, outside of a 20-point loss to the Indiana Pacers on the road. Seven games left for this Laker team at Toronto, at Washington. They get Cleveland, Minnesota, and Golden State all at home, and then they close out with Memphis and at New Orleans. Right now, the Lakers a game and a half back of Phoenix and Sacramento. I think we can go ahead and rule out the Lakers climbing up to number six. It would definitely take some doing at this point for that to happen, as they are three games back, but climbing out of that 8-9 spot, or excuse me, that 9-10 spot, I think would be huge for any team. It gives you a little bit of a margin of error once you get into the play-in round. Do the Lakers pass the Suns or Kings? You think they pass them in these final seven games, being a game and a half back of the seven spot?
I think the Kings and the Suns are in their own driver's spot. They got to win games. Then we talk about Golden State. Phoenix had some bad losses. The Kings had some bad losses. Maybe not quite as many recently, but, you know, looking back, there's some that they must be kicking themselves that they lost. They got to just win. They not maybe win out, but the Lakers definitely have been playing better in the last, what are they now? I think
they've won 7 out of 10. I think they've won 10 out of, like, 14 games, 13 games, something like that.
Which is pretty impressive. Like, I can begrudgingly tip my hat to that. They see me coming together. LeBron James went bonkers against the Nets the other day, which is not anything to brag about because it's the Nets. But I think career high in threes for him, 9 threes the other night. And I saw a funny stat where it said that this year he's shooting better from three than Steph Curry. Luminary kind of guys. It's insane. It's insane what he's doing at his age. So, The big thing with them, we know Anthony Davis is their, you know, the younger player, and if he had that kind of mentality he had in as a Pelican, it would be different. But I think just playing with a guy like LeBron James, subconsciously, everyone kind of defers to him. So that's where it's a catch-22. They want Anthony Davis to step up and be the man. LeBron James is still LeBron James. He's on the court, and he's still capable of doing great things. Guys are going to defer to him no matter what. But he's up to the challenge. It is what it is. They're playing much better now. And, yes, so I don't know. Who do you think has the best chance of getting in, the Lakers or the Warriors?
I think the Lakers have a better chance of getting in because I think the Lakers will pass Phoenix, and I think that's just based off of the strength of schedule for both teams. I mean, you brought it up when you look at the Phoenix Suns. They've had some really bad losses. I mean, a loss to the San Antonio Spurs, that's a bad setback. They got blown out by the Thunder. If you look at what Phoenix has left, they got to go at New Orleans. They get Cleveland, Minnesota, New Orleans again, the Clippers twice, the Kings, and the Timberwolves. Every one of those teams are playing meaningful basketball down the stretch. And, James, every one of those teams are in the playoffs. That is a very, very difficult stretch to close out the season. I think the Suns might be in trouble. I'm thinking the Lakers will pass Phoenix. I think we get the Lakers and Kings, and then we get Phoenix and Golden State. And I don't know who I would necessarily favor in that matchup. I just look at what's left for Phoenix. That's a tough stretch.
That is a murderer's row. I'm looking at it right now, and holy moly. And all those, like you said, those teams are all fighting for their playoff lives too, so it's not going to be, we're facing, they're sitting there two starting stars to get them rest. No. These teams are all still jockeying for a position. It's going to be a dogfight. And then, like you said, other than just Cleveland, these are all teams that, in the West with them. Holy moly. I didn't realize it would be this tough for them. And even so, I think I heard another stat. The Suns with Durant, Booker, and Beal on the floor, they're still in like plus five. A good team, like you say, hey, we got these three stars, it's gonna be plus eight, plus nine, plus ten, and that's a net ratings thing, right? It's how they perform on the court together versus off together. So yeah, the Suns, they're up against it. They're not a lot of options to restock the armory. Right, because they're up like I think the max tax bracket where they can't really make moves. It's going to be interesting to see. So this is kind of like if they don't make it at least to the second round, the conference finals this year with those three guys on the court, you got to say that this has been a hellacious disappointment of a season for the Suns.
That was going to be my next question. Can you think of a more disappointing season in recent memory for a team? I mean, really, when you look at three stars at this stage in their career, man, it's been tough. And, I know that when they get healthy, I think they have a puncher's chance once they get into the playoffs. You just look at the lineup of Nurkic and Durant, and Grayson Allen actually has had moments this season, and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, your top man off the bench is Royce O'Neal. Rotations are going to tighten up a little bit. I get this, but still, it's a massive disappointment. James, I believe that Phoenix is going to be in a must-win situation being in the ninth spot. Nobody really, I don't think anyone could have predicted that, right? I think that it would have been easy at the beginning of the season to say there's not a lot of depth, there's some problems within the roster construction. This is a team that's anywhere from 4 to 6 in the West. I don't think anyone thought they'd be fighting to stay out of that 9-10 one-game elimination round.
Every pundit out there had Phoenix in the top tier of contenders just because on the basis of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker adding a guy like Beal. And injuries obviously have a big factor in it, right? Injuries and continuity where they just haven't had a lot of time to build on-court chemistry and reps together with those three guys. But it's just, this is where lack of depth will catch up to you, right? Guys are getting hurt because they have to stay on the court a little more than they probably. And then they exert themselves a lot more because they don't have a lot of other guys making plays behind them. So I don't know what the way forward is for the Phoenix franchise. But, yes, for this year, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker need to strap on their hard hats and really get to work. But it's going to be on their back. I'm going to say this. Bradley Beal is not necessarily a winning basketball player. The stats look nice, and he can make, great footwork, all this good stuff. He hasn't been in a winning situation forever, and I think all that losing in Washington might have kind of – this is who he is now, right? That's what I think, kind of. If he wants to be a complimentary player on a really good team, something has to change. I don't think he's ready to change right now.
One team that you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, I'm going to go back over to the Eastern Conference. Speaking of the play-in rounds, it's the Atlanta Hawks. I think you got to pay attention to what this team has done. They went 3-1 last week. DeJounte Murray named Eastern Conference Player of the Week, and rightfully so. He averaged about 30 per game, went about 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and it was a really tough stretch for Atlanta. They needed to pick up some wins, and they were able to pocket them. So here we are talking about the bottom, the play-in round of the Western Conference, and teams that could make it difficult on some of the upper echelon teams. Are you willing to buy into what's happening in Atlanta right now?
No, not really. I think we've seen this before where teams kind of perform really well without their superstar or their second best player because, you know, the NBA is really hard. And it's hard to scout and get a game plan for guys. And so they're definitely rediscovering something, you know, where the floor is being raised. So they're not, they don't look absolutely helpless anymore. But what is the ceiling of a DeJounte Murray and Bogdanovich-led team? I don't think it's very high. They definitely are defending better without Trae Young on the floor. But sooner or later, you need somebody else who can just go out and get you 25 or 30. DeJounte took him, he scored, a season career-high 44 the other day, but took like 43 shots.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a volume. It was a volume 44, man.
There's no, and I'm not taking anything away from him, because guess what? As Kobe has said, people, it takes a lot to put up with that many shots.
Sure.
That takes work. It takes a lot of tenacity to see so many shots miss and keep shooting. Kudos to him. That's legit. But, yeah, a team where that's your best player, you know, unless he just catches absolute fire, kind of the way Miami Heat shooters did a couple years ago when they went from the eighth seed or the play-in all the way to the finals, right? It takes a certain serendipitous, everything coming together perfectly, you know? And so, yeah, I'm sure teams in the East their antennas up just a little bit, but not too much. It's still the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, in with this, we still have 2 weeks left in the season. However, for a number of teams, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, I think there's 8 teams that have already been eliminated from play-in contention. Who was the worst team that you saw all year long?
The worst?
The worst. I mean, because if you look at it record-wise, it's the Detroit Pistons. You know, San Antonio only won 18 games. Washington won 14. But there's trajectory for all these teams, right? There's context behind the records. Who's the worst team with the lowest ceiling that you watch this year?
I mean, I hate to say it, man. I like Portland. I love Anthony Simons. I love some of their. I think Scoot has a chance still, as bad as his rookie season has been. But to lose by 60 to this version of the Miami Heat, that is pathetic. And I know they lost Dame, but they have, you know, guys in out the. DeAndre Ayton is a max player. Like, Anthony Simons is a near max player, and he got a big contract. For them, I get it. They're young still, and they're still a long way to go. But what's next? What's the move to improve them other than some seismic trades? And so Detroit's up there too, but I think that's a lot of just youth, playing youth. The Wizards are absolutely pathetic. So I wanted to start naming them, but losing my 60 to this version of the Heat, that might be it.
Yeah, I got to go with Washington, because when I watch this team play, you have Jordan Poole, you have Kuzma, you have Bagley. We're not talking about young spring chickens here, right? I can look into Portland, and I can at least give you there's some what-ifs, right, or maybes. There's some maybes there. When I watch the Washington Wizards play basketball, James, it would be awful to be a Washington Wizards fan right now. What do you look forward to?
Yeah, and even though I let that loss color me and I said Portland, you just named it, man. Jordan Poole, he tricked everybody, got his contract. Kuzma is definitely the definition of a buffoon in wolf's clothing, maybe, because he has all the trappings. He's 6'9", 6'10", he's athletic. He looks like a basketball player. He looks like one of those, we got an apex predator kind of wing who can – no, Kuzma's kind of a joke. Everything they do over there is a joke. Other than, what's it, Denny Avia, I think his name is.
Yeah, Avia, yep.
And he looks like he could be a rotation player on a good team. You know, maybe a high-level rotation player on a good team. Other than that, though, that team is pretty pathetic.
That's the worst team I've watched all year long. I don't know any Wizards fans, but if there's any listening, God bless you, because I don't think it gets better anytime soon. There's nothing here that you really have to work with, right? And this is after being on the opposite end of one of the worst trades in NBA history. Like, they won the deal to get rid of Russell Westbrook. They have nothing to show for it.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, like, it's what's coming down the pipeline. who's next? Who makes their fans give them hope? I think there's a Mikael. Like I think they have there's a backup guard they have a young guy who is supposed to be super talented, but that's how bad it is. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it's one of those rosters that if you look up to front to back, you really have to reach for a straw to find any sort of light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, they're giving Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes, Bilal Koulibaly, you know, and he's going to be a superstar? No. He's 19, though, and at least there's something there, but that's it. That's it. That's one little tiny speck of light in this morass of just thunderstorms. So, yeah, that's not a lot to be happy for if you're a Wizards fan.
He's James Hollis. He's kind enough to join us each week. James, before I let you go, of course, let us know where we can find more of you.
Yeah, man. Hopefully everybody's listening to this show, and I make sure I share this with all my friends and family on Facebook. But at Snotty Dripping on Twitter, and we have the Casual Die Hard podcast. I'm doing my boy Jesse and the homegirl Ace. You know, that's just some fun we have every once a week. So we skipped this week because it was Easter. It was a holiday, so. But yeah, just check us out, and I can't wait for the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well, James. It's always a pleasure. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thank you.
You're the man, bro.
And with that, we are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drive. We're going to be back to do it again tomorrow. We're about a month out of the NFL draft, so we're going to start talking about that. I'll be joined by Vinny Rondinelli. I know we'll catch up with Coach Taylor Brower of the Carbon Boys basketball team a little bit later on this week. So still a lot to get into. I will see you tomorrow. Till then, be safe. I am out.